Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, coming to a Food Lion near you in the state of South Carolina, Billy G's Carolina Barbecue Sauce, the Carolina Gold, the Sweet Heat. Yep, that's right. If you've got Food Lion, just wait. Later on this summer, Billy G's will be right next door, and you can go right in and grab it and go back home, and whatever you plan to throw on the smoker or in the oven or whatever it is will taste a whole heck of a lot better. We used the secret spice rub this weekend. Billy G's CarolinaBarbecue.com is where you can go and you can book your catering needs or the food truck. Do you need a food truck? How about that? You can also find them at the ballpark this week. Four opportunities to eat Billy G's Carolina Barbecue at Founders Park. They are the official barbecue of Gamecock Baseball. CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com to have it delivered to your doorstep. Thanks to John Whittle for joining us in the last couple of segments with the BigSpur.com. Again, the VIP room. We'll be up tonight at about 8 o'clock or so, and you can check out all the latest and greatest from South Carolina Athletics. Also tonight, maybe you'll be reading while you're watching. It is must-see TV on ESPN at 7 o'clock. Third-seeded LSU, top-seeded Iowa, MVP Arena in Albany, New York. The winner will head to the Final Four following that game out in Portland, Oregon, where they can't seem to measure the three-point line. UConn and Southern Cal will tip off around 9 o'clock with a trip to the Final Four as well. Y'all ever seen anything like that? Never seen anything like that. Never.
That was wild. You had one job.
You had one job. Never seen that, Mike? You're in gyms all year long. Yeah, I've never seen that.
I had it. Now, when I played back when I played, the high school line and the college line were the exact same, 19 feet, 9 inches. Mm-hmm. And which looking back now was really too short. I mean, it's now about 22, which is like the international line. The NBA is 23 feet, 9 inches, incidentally. And if you go out there, as I like to do when I'm doing a ball game, I'll go out there and get shots up. And like Pat Bradley and I used to do a segment, 3-point play, where we both had to hit back-to-back threes, record it, and then we'd use it on a segment later on in the show. Needless to say, the pressure was on me because Pat never misses. but when they moved it back the last time a few years ago, I was like, damn, I know I'm getting older, but this extra foot and a half does make a difference. So, but when I was in high school, it was 1999, and I remember there was one gym we played at where literally one half of the court, the three-point line, was not the same in the corners. It was a much easier shot. And we were like, this is insane. Like, we want, let's play on this side. Let's really cash in on this side. So we would hope that we would get that side in the second half. We would not, because the home team got to choose. But that's the only time I've ever seen it is in high school, where things are not as regulated, let's just say. And not every court in high school is 94 feet by 50 feet either. You don't have to be. Some high school courts are 84 feet. Some are 76. Some are 90. It's like whatever you can fit, that's what you do, and that's legal. In college, there's simply no excuse for this whatsoever. It's embarrassing. And I'm the last one to play the gender card. I think there's way too much victimization. Like, enjoy the moment, ladies. It's never, your sport has never been more popular. We already, with all the Kim Mulkey articles and everything else, there's a lot of people with agendas that feel the need to step on the parade of just the game itself. However, the women's coach for Texas, who used to be a longtime coach in the SEC at Mississippi State, and a very successful one, I might add. Vic Schaefer, yeah, they just lost a bidding war to Texas, which is not uncommon. When he says, look, I hate to say it, guys, but this can only happen in women's basketball. He's actually right. This would never happen for a men's NCAA tournament game. Never, ever, never, ever, never. So I got to say that that's accurate, and it's a huge embarrassment. And kudos to both those teams, because they agreed to play under the circumstances, which was an uneven three-point line. They're like, because if you don't, there's a major delay, right? They've got to take the three-point line off. They got to put another one on. And both sides just agreed, look, we'll each play 20 minutes with the shorter line. It's no advantage for either side. Let's just do it and play this thing. So kudos to them for agreeing to do that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm glad they did that. But, and I don't, there's so many people that use that card for anything in life that you know, this is unfair and that's unfair. And a lot of it gets blown out of proportion. You never know the true story until it's already become a story. But I agree with him too. He's right. I don't think this has ever happened on the men's side. Of course, I don't think it's ever happened on the women's side either.
On the men's side, they would make it, they delay the whole thing. I mean,
it wouldn't happen.
Like, no, I'm not doing it.
I think he's right.
Yeah, Portland as a city, sort of going downhill, guys.
Yeah, it's not shocking that's where it happened, right?
Remember, it was a nice place to live. About my buddy Mike Johnson lived out there about 15 years ago, and he's in
Marcus is still there. But because he's
good. Yeah, it's I don't know what happened. You know, I used to love going out there for work myself. Went out there every summer for the Nike camp, but I guess now it's just like, wow, you can't even get the 3-point line right now.
We were at my family's. We had just watched the Carolina game, and we're all kids, I think, just maybe wrapped up the Easter egg hunt. You know, where everybody just kind of, and the TV's on, and I'm looking up there going, what the hell's going on? Why are they measuring the 3-point line? There's no way that somebody got the 3-point line wrong, right? Wrong. No. Little did we know.
Anyway. That's what worries me, man. I start getting afraid of like incompetence these days. Like, all this stuff is happening with airplanes and things like that. People aren't as thorough as they used to be. They're too busy looking on their phones.
There's a lot of unqualified people that are doing a lot of these jobs too.
Agreed. That's completely. You know, and I'm like, wow, you know. The next thing that flies off an airplane for any airline, I'm not flying that airline for at least a couple of years.
What was the Ed asked? I never even got the exact measurement. Do y'all know what the exact measurement was? How off was it, Mike?
I think it was like a foot. It was short. It wasn't long. It was. So you had you know what it might have been. What my guess is, and I didn't read too much into it. Like most people, I had a chuckle, and then I was like, kind of rolled my eyes, and that was it. But I'll bet you they had the old women's line. And for that matter, was the old men's line of like 19. It went from 19.9 to 29 to 22. So my guess is they had either 29 or 19.9. Not somebody was like, oh, yeah, let's use that line from 2012 as opposed to 2024. Oops.
How did this happen? But that wasn't even the first game played on the court.
Well, there's been game, like there have been games, again, not at the highest levels, where a rim is a little bit low and nobody noticed until it was, Charles says, short by about 4 inches, which would have been, let's see, if it went from 29 to 22, that's about 4 inches. So there you go. They probably had the old line of 20, and it only changed a few years ago. It's not like this, the second change was only a few years ago.
So, but they played games there on Saturday.
Yeah, look, I'm telling you, sometimes players are just in their own world. Like, they won't even notice something like that. You know, like, Jamie, I'll give you a baseball analogy. If you were playing on a field and first to second was 90 feet, but second to third was 88, would you pick up on it right away? Maybe, maybe not. You know, sometimes players just don't even. I'll tell you where it's a big, and actually the shooting percentages were about equal, so it didn't really have a major effect on the game. Why is that? The 3-point line, I've always maintained, is a big deal, not just because obviously it's an extra point, but a lot of shooting is muscle memory. Mm-hmm. And you know, when your feet are right behind that line, you shoot thousands and thousands and thousands of shots. Muscle memory tells you exactly how much you're putting on the shot. And so to have that line, it's not just like a line on the floor that tells the official scorer or the referee 2 or 3. It also helps the shooter. Because mm-hmm. And that's why so many shooters, like people say, well, how come they can hit it from 3, but they can't hit it 1 foot inside of 3? Because muscle memory tells you the 3-point line, 22 feet, 22 feet. You take a step or two in, there's no muscle memory there, not as much, and you don't shoot that shot as much. You shoot free throws, you shoot 3-pointers, and of course, in the lane is like candy for most of these guys. But you don't have the same muscle memory if you're shooting from like an 18-footer from the baseline, because there's no line on the floor to designate that.
That's a good point. I would know to equate that in my head. I would, like throwing from home to second, I would know if the bag's off. But running,
as a catcher, you would, yeah.
Yeah, I would know.
But like, no, if you were the right fielder, right, yeah, would you pick up on it?
Or running around the bags, I probably wouldn't.
Two feet, you know, yeah, you probably wouldn't think much of it. You might be like, man, I feel a little faster today. I sure slower. As hell flew. Yeah.
Or slower, depending
on where they put the bags. But too much, yeah, no, that was insane.
For this time of the year, too. That's the thing. Like,
yeah, it's not like a game in November.
Come on, dude.
That's
freaking NCAA tournament. Let's go.
It's a bad look. It's a bad look. But I will say this. I don't know how, like, you don't have LSU and Iowa. If you saw this coming, have them meet in the Final Four. Why are we talking about an Elite Eight? Come on. I mean, that's a screw up. That's a screw up. But I think overall, these games tonight, like, look, I'm a fringe women's basketball viewer. Right. I've called several women's basketball games. And when I do, I put every bit as much effort into those as I do a men's game. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you with everything else that I watch and follow. I always make the buffet analogy. JC knows this. Like, I go to the buffet line, and like most Americans, over half of that tray is filled with football. And for me, it's college and pro. I love both. And then I've got a big serving of baseball and men's basketball. I don't have a whole lot of time and room for other stuff. It's nothing personal, but that's just where I am. But tonight, with nothing else going on, I'm in. I'm getting my popcorn ready. I'm watching this. I'm watching Paige Beckers and UConn trying to keep whatever they have alive. And I'm certainly watching Caitlin Clark, who is, again, a transformational player in the women's game. And I guarantee you, got to be careful how I say this. There are plenty of people in a boardroom, as great a story as Kim Mulkey and LSU is, And yes, they're on the radar for some of the right reasons, some of the wrong reasons. They want Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark had tournament games, first, second round tournament games, where over 4 million people were watching. There is no other team in women's college basketball that can touch that on a first, second round NCAA tournament game. There just isn't. She is just different. She has captivated a country with her play and the style of play she has. So I think you asked Whittle. I was kind of doing some work and halfway listening. You asked what team would be better for women's college basketball. The answer is Caitlin Clark, 10 out of 10. South Carolina LSU is a story within South Carolina LSU. And Caitlin Clark has gotten a lot of pub here lately because of a couple of articles written. But no, Caitlin Clark is what women's basketball truly wants, and I would say needs if they want to really have a record amount of people tuning into this the way they had last year.
Yeah, I think the dream is I'm sure they would have rather had Texas in than NC State just because of the vastness of the Texas market. But, you know, you do have the upstart in NC State. You could talk about the fact that both their teams are in the Final Four, men and women. And surprisingly enough, they're there. And then you have Iowa. And then I don't know that UConn is yesterday's news. I think it's compelling if they go. Because there's the old guard, you know, showing up again. Oh, here we are. Oh, but the Juju Watkins from Southern Cal is a big story as well.
Oh, absolutely. Huge.
And this,
she's going to have to take the West Coast.
Yes, West Coast, the West Coast most marketable player, freshman, a West Coast school with a national following. I mean, that you got Iowa, Southern Cal, you got the Rose Bowl on one end, and then you get the 1969 ACC championship game on the other and go to town. And then I think South Carolina, Iowa is the one everybody wants to see. I think LSU was on the other side of the bracket. Maybe some people would like to see LSU and Iowa since LSU beat Iowa last year and South Carolina did not. But I know from the Gamecock standpoint, they'd love to have a piece of the Hawkeyes and Caitlin Clark again.
Oh, of course.
After what happened last year.
And that would be must-see TV.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. You know, Caitlin Clark. You know, what's the difference between Caitlin? Let me ask you guys this. What's the difference between Caitlin Clark and Dalton Connect?
The difference? There's a lot of them.
I mean, yeah.
Besides biologically, but style of play.
I mean,
shooter.
We could go all day on this.
I was going to say, how much time do you have?
Well, no, I'm just saying that they're very similar players. I mean,
You're talking about just the way they play the game?
No, the way they play the game.
The difference is, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, the what makes Caitlin Clark, again, Caitlin Clark is the closest thing to Steph Curry, the women's game has seen. That's the biggest thing. I've heard the Pistol Pete analogy. Like most of us, you know, we weren't alive for Pistol Pete, and neither are the people that are using that analogy. But yeah, I mean, quite frankly, she's a better passer than she gets credit for. She's dropping double digit dimes on the regular, and she's not playing with nearly the talent that, again, a South Carolina or an LSU is. She's playing with some solid players at Iowa.
Farm girls.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's playing with solid players, and she's still dropping double-digit dimes and making 35 points look routine and shooting logo threes. That's what makes her unique. Dalton Connect's a hell of a player. Is going to be a lottery pick, but we've seen other Dalton Connects in the men's game.
And like probably, like somebody said, not as consistent. I could see that. She's more like Steph Curry. Okay, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, it's.
I was trying to put her down. I was just saying. I was like,
yeah, no, I get it. Like, eventually, there's going to
quite a bit of each other. You know,
Juju Watkins is special in her own way. She's a different kind of player. She's more of a physical force inside that. It's almost like a runaway freight train. You can't stop her. That's not really Caitlin Clark's game. Eventually, there'll be another Caitlin Clark on the women's side. There'll be somebody that's hitting logo threes and remarkably skilled. Remarkably talented shooting the ball from long range and being able to see the floor at the same time. But I haven't seen it yet. Not in my lifetime. Nothing like her.
And whoever that is will probably reference Caitlin Clark when they say, well, who was your idol growing up?
And
it'll be Caitlin. It'll be it'll be Caitlin Clark. So how about
and
this?
Dawn Staley will probably recruit her and sign her like she does every other
she'll
great
player. She'll play at South Carolina for Dawn Staley, who still by that time will not have aged. Dawn looks like she did 15 years ago. All right, let's step aside for a timeout. So I'm not a big bold take guy, right? Like I don't like the word take. Like, what is your take on this? I'm not big on that. Not a big bold, like, let me give you my opinion. But I'm gonna do two of those right now. And then you can roll your eyes and chew on them over the break. And then when we come back, we'll discuss. If LSU is knocked out tonight by Iowa, South Carolina will be the villain of the women's Final Four. On the men's side, Nate Oates is not the villain of the men's Final Four. All right? Two very bold takes. But I have a reason for both.
Strong tease, Jamie.
Strong tease. Well done.
You'd have to be crazy to not listen through the break after that.
Yes. You got to stick with us, man.
Average quarterly listen just went up.
That's the point of that. That's how you... Yeah, that's what you do.
I'm with you.
You know how this works.
So. I got an idea. Right. Yeah.
But yeah. I think you've yeah,
been around the block, room right? with these consultants who preach all this stuff.
Buck Ballou. Hey, coming up next.
That's not. Him, yeah. Hey. We're not going
Guess
after
Lamont Paris. Is he going to go somewhere? I don't know. Hey, next old Buck and Kincaid. Go dogs.
It is April Fool's Day. It is. You don't have to be a fool, though, to. Hire Ryan Brewer Fence. They present the Power Hour. Ryan Brewer Fence, ryanbrewer.net. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet. The best selection of new Chevys. The lowest price, guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power of
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock Nation, my name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever, and I've never felt more confident in my golf. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to mckellarenterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecock.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit charlestonfitnessequipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Cold Joe here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight out the bucket. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning, it'll melt in your mouth, it's good on a cracker, it's good in a bowl, it's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well, and they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasports.com. It's good. Coach O signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast, the char level. We use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
Cardoso for three. Banks it!
Florida just shooting 100% from long range. Camila Cardoso, welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show powered by Electric Bikes of Charleston, up to 28 miles per hour, 60 miles on an electric bike.
Can electric I just tell you, what's the owner's name of that place?
Michelle Wilkins.
Michelle, I'm ready. I'm ready for an electric bike. So I'm down here in Florida. I've been going to the
They're
beach.
Everywhere.
There's a guy that was, he had the thick, like sand tires, mm-hmm. and he's riding that electric bike on the right, the shoreline, and he's booking it. He's probably going 15 to 20 miles an hour with the beach on the left and the sand on the right. And I'm just like, that dude is living his best life. This is what Jamie's Dude. Been talking about with the electric bikes. Like, that's the way to go, man.
Shotgun in a Miller Lite.
Heck yeah.
Down there, you need an electric bike. Mike.
Yeah, I know.
I'm thinking about that right now, and I'm like, that's a great idea.
That's yeah, and I've seen them all around town. They're everywhere down here. Just like it's like people would rather have an electric bike than a car in some cases. So
in that area, it's probably not a bad thing. You know, there's some beach towns that are like that. It's just easier to get on the EB.
Oh, heck yeah. And you don't have to pay for parking and all that stuff. So do they offer shipping? Here's my other question.
I'm sure we could work out a deal with Michelle if you really want
to. Let's talk to Michelle. You're going to
get Summer to videotape you riding it like she did with you jumping, frolicking and jumping in the ocean yesterday on Instagram.
You're going to have to take your shirt off. You're going to be like, this is going to be Garth Brooks moment. Like, a lot of people don't realize Garth Brooks is tatted. His whole torso and arms, he's all tatted up. So Mike's going to take his shirt off and realize he's got, like, a lion on his back.
I have no ink yet. I have no ink as of yet. No. But I never say never. I could morph into a whole new look.
He's got the barbed wire around the bice.
I don't know if my bice are big enough for the barbed wire. Plus, I don't like the meathead vibe. No offense out there to anybody who's sporting the barbed wire. I've always thought that's kind of a...
Clint's got it, Clint. Sorry, Clint. I meant Phil. Clint, gold jacket, green jacket. You know what I'm saying. But yeah, no, we're big barbed wire bicep guys.
Big barbed wire bicep guys.
I'm thinking Mike, you know, as soon as he gets off the TV, is going to go with the full length, like, you know, dual sleeve Yakuza look from, you know, the Japanese gangsters or whatever. That's what I envision in my head there.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Why not? Why not?
Boy on one arm, a dragon on the other, and a guy that looks like he's, you know, from a kabuki theater. All across the back. Yeah, you're just
perfect. That is amazing.
Yeah, Ruination says Mike with a tramp stamp. I don't want to go cheap.
I don't know.
I don't want to look cheap.
Yeah, you know, a dolphin on my shoulder, maybe, but not a tramp stamp.
He's got SEC tattooed on his lower back.
Yeah, that's right.
I got a tattoo exactly in summer of 2021. It's just like the Palmetto and Crescent, you know, home or whatever on my shoulder. I got it at Myrtle Beach, which I think 99% of everybody probably got a tattoo.
Wait
Myrtle.
A sec.
But what was funny was we were with some friends, and she got his name tattooed on her ankle.
Uh-oh.
And 6 months later, they split up.
That and they're, never they're
married
worked.
Married to the old people now. I guess it's going to be a... You know what? Trying to get that off your ankle, you know, you got to walk around with it. So I that's one thing I'll never do is get like anybody's name tattooed. I kind of light it back when the sailors used to put mom on there. Mom's really general. You always got mom, you know. You
arm wrestle a guy with a mom tattoo. That was the rule. They're usually the toughest son of a gun, to go out there. But I didn't mean to get off on a tangent, but you mentioned electric bikes, and it's funny, the power of advertising immediately triggered the commercials, and because I never knew there was such a thing before you started talking about it, and the spots were running on the show, and I was like, electric bikes, that's a thing, and now I see them everywhere, and I've decided I need an electric bike in my
life. And they even have... I'm not sure if all the brands do, but and I don't want to say the wrong brands that actually do this, but they even have some that fold like a sandwich.
Yeah.
So if you don't, you don't have
my mom's. Does that. She bought one recently, not from. She had to get it off the line, but hers folds. Like they were telling me about it last time I saw them.
Couldn't at least lie about that, JC.
Well, I wanted to be honest. I don't want Michelle calling me up. Like, what's your mom's name? And looking at her customer list, I mean, like, Dorothy Rainbow. Yeah.
I don't see that receipt. Who's the last person
that bought one? That'd be Shelly. That's mom. Shelly. That's my mom. Right.
Michelle, if you're listening, electric bike, please. Let's show me a catalog.
She's always listening or watching. Sometimes a little bit later. They have us on there in the. In the store. That's why.
Oh, awesome.
Hello,
everybody. Buy a bike today. Buy one now. That's what the ITG crew says. By the way, to have more synergy with our sponsors, I was talking to John Banks, who runs the Tartan Day Festival, which is going on Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week. He wanted me to remind you, Jamie, and the rest of our audience, Billy G's will be serving up food there. Billy G's is one of the food participants. So you can get all that great barbecue that Jamie always talks about from Billy at the Tardon Day Festival. John wanted me to remind everybody again that the tickets at Tardon Day South, that's T-A-R-T-A-N Day South, Tardon Day South. You can also purchase them at the gate Friday, just $10, Saturday, $20. You get a 2-day pass for $25. And the Thursday night party at Steel Hands is absolutely free. Cool thing for the family to do. Something different, maybe out of your comfort zone, maybe not if you're Scottish or Irish, but they've been doing it for 12 years over there and always has a terrific turnout.
Get your bagpipes out and wear your kilt and eat some haggis. Check out the Tartan Games.
That's right. That's right. So, check out the British car show. Get your Austin Powers mobile.
We going into the break, we teased basketball, and since then we've talked about tattoos and tartan games, but that's
and electric bikes.
And electric bikes. Electric bikes. So for those who stuck around, they're like, I'll never buy that crap again.
No, the team just gets stronger with time.
So here's my big thought on this. South Carolina on the women's side, unless LSU beats Iowa tonight, will be the villain of the Final Four. And it's because they're there every year. Like, you get – we live in our bubble here, right? Mike, you talk about this all the time. You travel the country calling games all the time. Okay, we have a show that mostly a South Carolina target audience, like this state in itself.
Sure.
We forget sometimes to think about – the way that other people might be thinking or feeling or not thinking at all or feeling. The rest of the country is tired of seeing South Carolina. They were tired of seeing UConn. They were tired of seeing Tennessee. And that's just kind of the badge that you wear when you're good. They get tired of seeing you every single year. It's the same thing in football, and it's the same thing in every other sport, right? They got tired of the Patriots. They get tired of Alabama. Everybody was sick of Clemson, Georgia. So, but that villain word, guys, it's kind of a two-parter. Like, you've got the team, like, we're just sick of seeing them. They beat everybody. They're here all the time. It'd be awesome to see the top-ranked team go down. And then you got the other guys, like LSU, where it's like, would you just shut up and play basketball? You know, like, that's enough. Quit chirping at other coaches and telling everybody how beautiful you are and how everybody wants to be you. Maybe they don't actually want to be you. You might just think that, but they don't.
Quit pulling other girls' hair?
Yeah, like pulling hair. Like, what is that? What is this, sixth grade? I
don't know. A whole lot of fans doing that.
I don't like a little hair pulling. I don't know.
Like, it's – but it – so you have that villain. On the men's side, and y'all can mix and match and weave this conversation any way you want to, I don't think that Nate Oates will be this big national villain – that everybody thinks that he will be in the NCAA tournament.
No.
And here's why. Here's why. But see, a lot of people disagree with that, Mike. But here's why.
And why do they think he's a villain?
In our neck of the woods. Well, he is in the SEC because, you know, of how he coaches, his style of doing things. A lot of people don't
he's
like
Nate. He's brash, but they hate the Arkansas coach, right?
Yeah, but that's my point.
Like, they hate Cal in some cases.
That's our narrow mind of this. This is the SEC. The Final Four has not seen Alabama in it. Half the country doesn't even know who Nate Oates is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't watch Alabama basketball. Maybe they did, but they don't know the coach's name. It's not like Alabama's and Nate Oates is in the Final Four every single year. Like, he's not going to be to the rest of the country when there's however many millions of people watching this game coming up on Saturday. He is not going to be to them what he is to our neck of the woods. If that makes
sense. Yeah, no, 100%. And I would increase your number. You said half the country doesn't know who he is. I would say it's closer to 90%. You got to remember this tournament, what makes it such a win for TV, and that's why they spend $1 billion with a B a year on it, is that it brings in non-regular viewers. You've already got the hardcore college basketball fans. And you've got the people that, well, I don't know much about this team, but they represent my school, so now I'm watching. And then you have just a bunch of other people that don't know either or, but they filled out a bracket, and they love the stories, and they love the buzzer beaters, and it's the best thing going, and it becomes habitual where you watch it every year, and you might not be able to name five players or five coaches. So you get win, 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 win. But most of the people had no idea who Nate Oates was. When Alabama, I tweeted this out, when they clinched it on Saturday. Most Alabama fans, if you're being really honest, did not think much of that hire when it was made. Okay. Yeah. They looked at Nate Oates the way South Carolina fans now look at Darren Horn. Like, what the hell are we doing? Because the previous two quote unquote slam dunk hires, home run hires, look at me, I'm a strong AD, I'm going to give you a name hire. Anthony Grant, bust. Avery Johnson, while he did have a much better personality, bust. They couldn't do it. They couldn't take Alabama to the next level. Then you hire a guy from Buffalo who before that was an assistant under one Danny Hurley at Buffalo. But Bobby before Hurley. That was teaching math and coaching Romulus High School. And I've been down the interstate to do a MAC football game past where that Romulus High is in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, he was like doing bake sales to raise money. It wasn't that long ago. Like, this guy is an incredible story. I like Nate Oates, full disclosure here.
For well, the people, you know him personally, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been dealing with him for years. I knew him at Buffalo, and I've known him in Alabama. And Nate Oates isn't a bad guy. He's not a bad guy at all. But sometimes you hate what you can't beat. And Nate Oates, since he's taken over at Alabama, has been beating the hell out of a lot of people. And he's taken a moribund program and turned them into a perennial power in the SEC when a lot of people thought it just couldn't be done again in Alabama. They still have an antiquated arena. They still are. Oh, there's two differences between being second fiddle to football and being a chasm between Alabama football and Alabama basketball when your football program just won 6 national championships under the previous coach. But Nate never fought that. He took the job. He didn't complain about the lack of billboards around Tuscaloosa for Alabama basketball. I'm here to tell you, I've been to Tuscaloosa 100 times over the last 5 years. There are none. There are none. And he plays in a basketball arena that Jay Williams, during a game there, called, this is, I feel like I'm in church. The crowd's not into it. It looks like you'd have a rodeo there. Nate Oates didn't care about any of that. He didn't throw up BS excuses to the fan base. He just went in there and friggin' won. Mm. He's got a unique system. It doesn't always work, but he sticks with it. And I don't even think this is his most talented team. But now he's got multiple Sweet 16s and a Final Four under his belt. Is one hell of a coach, whether you like him or you hate him.
Let me interrupt something real quick, JC, because I want you to take. I just want to get this news in, and then take. I want you to take this from the AD side of this.
Oh, we have news.
We do have some news out of Tennessee. This is big news in women's basketball. Kelly Harper is out as head coach of the Vols. Surprised. Danny White has moved on from her. Danny White is an out-of-the-box thinking AD. Greg Byrne is an out-of-the-box thinking AD. I'll start with baseball. He brought in Rob Vaughn from Maryland after that disaster that they went through last year with the betting scandal. You mentioned Nate Oates coming from Buffalo. They just hired their head football coach from Washington. Here's a guy who could care less about the SEC footprint and whether you understand it or not. And look what he's built down there. And so I'm anxious to see what happens in Tennessee as well. Obviously, Kelly Harper. Tennessee's one of the best two or three, four, maybe five basketball jobs in the country on the women's side. It's a top-notch job. So we'll see what type of interest. But back to the Nate Oates thing and JC, like, bumming off of what Mike said, guys, like, Greg Byrne just went out and found the best coach. He didn't really care where you were from. He didn't care in any of those sports.
Yeah, it's a study in contrast of ADs. You look at Byrne, he goes and finds the best coach, doesn't really care where he comes from. You know, Scott Woodward at LSU is more of a big name guy, big game hunter. And then, you know, Danny White tends to pick them quite well through the years. And Danny White rarely wins press conferences, but he always wins football.
Certainly didn't win it with Josh Heupel, which is like his third or fourth choice.
Yeah. So
then he just went back to the guy he knew at UCF.
Tennessee women's basketball, and if you're a South Carolina fan, you pay attention to this, right? It's about time for them to get back on. They've been through the Holly, who replaced Pat, Holly Warlick.
Warlick.
It didn't really work out.
Harley Warlick.
And then so then they go get Kelly Harper, who was kind of like a Will Muschamp. She had been fired before. and kind of worked her way back to the job. I think she was fired at NC State. They went to a smaller school, then came back to Tennessee, but she was an alum. So now it's kind of if you're that program, you're kind of caged animal syndrome, I think. I mean, it's been two coaches.
Kara Lawson, I would think.
Yeah, you know, North Carolina basketball did that. Bill Guthridge, and then they had Doherty because everybody turned it down. Then they finally circled back and went and got the guy that made sense. So we will see what happens with that. But, yeah, you know, Nate Oates, my thing back to the villains thing, all right, Nate Oates is going up against a guy that's just as big of a butthole as he is in Danny Hurley. And he worked for Bobby Hurley, by the way, Danny's brother. Who's at Arizona? I think he's. Is he still at Arizona State? They didn't fire him yet. He didn't resign this year. Bobby.
Gosh, my. You got me Bobby thinking Hurley? Of both Hurleys now.
Bobby Hurley's at Arizona State, and he hates the AD.
Yeah,
the AD
he worked.
Hates him.
Nate worked
winning.
Under Bobby. I said
Bobby
I,
at Buffalo. Thank you. Danny. Yeah. Danny was at Rhode Island. And
that's right. That's right.
So you. Is it and Danny Hurley? Hurley? I mean, did you see him yelling at a fan the other day, mm-hmm. the Illinois fan in the stands? They just waxed him about 30, and he just jawed at him and stuff.
Well, if we're going to talk about Danny Hurley, I was on another show this morning talking about this. They are what they're doing to people, and that's not the most talented roster in college basketball. So I don't even know if it's the top five. They are working people over. They're embarrassing people. They're making people look silly. With what they're doing on both ends of the floor, particularly on offense, you watch them, it is poetry in motion. It's not amazing. ISO. It's not just high pick and roll, high pick and pop. Like they actually, they're doing stuff that most colleges just don't do. You have to have two things. You have to have a hell of a coach to pull that off. You also have to have coachable kids. And Danny Hurley doesn't put up, you know, son of, you go back to
his dad. High school. Yep.
Well, yeah, the high school in Jersey, St. Anthony's. I've got all my Catholic schools mixed up. He doesn't play around. Like, you watch a UConn practice, and they still do old-school fundamental drills like we did when we were kids that a lot of college coaches are like, well, I'm not going to tell a guy who's making $500,000 in an NIL deal and is about to be in the NBA that he's got to sit there and do ball-handling drills before. No, Danny Hurley says, you are. You are going to do that. Because that's the way we do things around here. And mm-hmm. if you don't like it, you go somewhere else, and I'll take another 3-star, and I'll turn him into a 5-star. What they're doing there is unbelievable. I hope people appreciate
basketball.
It.
Yeah, that's how you win in college basketball these days, man. I mean, so for that reason, and UConn's so good right now. I think the whole country's like, they're like really, well, they marched through the tournament last year as a 4-1 at all in a kind of a upset-ridden deal. And then, lo and behold, they were talking about the chat box earlier. Zach Edey has all of a sudden gone and stepped in it and made himself into a villain after camping out in the lane for most of the game Saturday.
That problem can be solved if somebody just blows the whistle.
Talking major
or
smack
like the lane,
afterward.
Like they did in the NIT, like they do in the NBA.
Talking major smack afterward, playing the victim card and calling out Rick Barnes and all this other stuff.
On accident.
You know, I mean, you know, Matt Painter is a jovial, nice guy. You know, I could pull for Matt Painter, although Purdue's mascot terrifies me, and I don't like their campus for a lot of reasons. But, you know, that just made me hate him. You know, I'm like, listen, dude, you know, you're lucky. It's like Top Gun, and you're lucky to be here. You know, you're lucky to be here. You play for Purdue. And I've been wrong. I've been sitting there saying for a long time they haven't been a Final Four. I don't know why I missed in 1969 and 1980 they did go to the Final Four. But they haven't been back since. It's been 44 years. So, yeah. You know, and they were lucky. They were not lucky. They got a fortuitous seeding playing in Indy and then playing in Detroit. They had about 4 home games. Basically.
Oh, my God. It was like a home game yesterday.
You know, and so,
yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, I don't know. You know, I just, but he stepped in it. So we could all rally behind the lovely Boilermakers, right? Hadn't won anything ever. Indiana has. And I looked this up, too. Purdue leads the series with Indiana in basketball 127-82, right? That's a pretty big margin. Indiana, 5 national championships, Purdue 0. So, I mean, it's just like, wow. I mean, they have a chance to go accomplish some things. Matt Painter, I think, is a great guy, one of the good guys in college coaching. I've always sort of pulled for him. He's a lifer, you know. And Edie goes and just talks all this smack. And I'm like, you stepped in it. So now if the whole country wasn't pulling for NC State already, and our boy from South Carolina, DJ.
Oh, my goodness.
DJ Burns, the round mound of rebound.
Yeah, we're talking about villains. If we're talking about the flip side of that, like Valentine's, villains and Valentine's, DJ Burns is everybody's Valentine.
He's an everyman. So I think Alabama,
I love that.
To a certain extent, Alabama ticks everybody off when they play them, because when they start hitting from three, they're almost impossible to beat. You're almost like, come on, man. Are you serious? I mean, seriously, when Bama gets going against Clemson the other night, Clemson thought they were keeping pace because they hit one, and then they hit one, they hit one, they hit one. Then all of a sudden, Clemson started missing, as normal teams do, and Bama just kept hitting them. It was whoosh, 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 you know, and that has to get frustrating when you're giving up 24-footers and they're hitting them over and over. So to answer the big question, no. I think the country's going to be pulling for Bama and NC State simply because UConn was so dominant last year. They're dominant this year, and, you know, their coach isn't what I would call fluffy and likable, although I got a lot of respect for him. And then on the other side, you got DJ Burns against Zach Edey.
That's going to be fascinating to me because, I mean, I'm sitting there, and full disclosure, I had Duke in the Final Four, not because I love Duke, but I love their bracket. And if John Shire makes a couple of simple adjustments, they should have been able to do a hell of a lot better. I mean, Burns is doing the same thing every time. He's getting it deep. He's going to the baseline. He's turning baseline and then doing the little half hook shot. They made no adjustments on that. And when you've got a guy who's about 350 pounds, 3.5 spins on the scale, you exploit that on the other end. He can't defend anybody.
No.
He can't defend anybody. For those that are thinking, well, gosh, how come this guy didn't go to South Carolina? And first of all, Frank recruited him. He chose Tennessee. He was a top 100 kid out of Rock Hill. Rick Barnes doesn't play that game. Like, you're either going to lose weight and you're going to behave properly, or you're not going to see the floor. And he didn't. And he had to mature. And then he lost some. Believe it or not, he has lost weight and was a very good player at Winthrop and then went to NC State. But NC State is an 11 seed for a reason. They were about to be NIT bound. Actually, they weren't even going to qualify.
I don't even think they're going to.
They were going to be in the CBI, and their coach was going to get fired. And then all of a sudden, they win 5 games in 5 days of the ACC tournament, which is nearly impossible to do. And now they're in the Final Four, and Burns has become the feel-good story of the tournament, and at times looks unstoppable. It's going to be a little different look when Burns runs into Zach Edey.
Yeah.
And Zach Edey's going to get a different look. They're not going to let him get the ball 2.5 feet from the rim every time, which is what Duke did on the regular. I don't know what Duke was doing on either end of the floor. He got completely outcoached, quite frankly. But that's a whole other story.
He's not a very good coach.
Well, that could very well be the case.
I'm sorry. He's got great players.
Yeah,
he's not especially by their standards. So
by their standards, yeah, he ain't K. Mike, that's for damn sure.
And Mike, I think JC, would you agree with this? I think Mike just said kind of the quiet part out loud. Like, I don't think a lot of people really want to hear it, but I don't like the matchup for DJ Burns with Zach.
No.
Well, of course not.
Like, yeah, it's going to be a different deal.
Yeah, I think everybody wants to, and I get monster. It. I'm with everybody. I want to see NC State pull this whole thing off. I'm a big fan of this. I like Kevin Keats. He's a very likable guy. DJ Burns, it's a great story, and they're playing phenomenal basketball.
I'm happy for their fans, too, because, you know, they got screwed out of the College World Series a couple years ago, remember?
Oh, gosh. Carl.
Yeah, I remember that.
Beating Arkansas, I called the Super where they beat Arkansas in Fayetteville, the number one team all year long.
They haven't won one in basketball. They've been the Final Four since 83, so it's been 41 years, so Purdue's 44 years, NC State's 41. And look, growing up in the Carolinas in the Upstate, that was always a huge thing, Jim Valvano and NC State. I mean, because we had the Jefferson Pilot ACC broadcast, and that's kind of what I grew up on, old school ACC basketball. And Jimmy
Byron
V.
Ice. Anybody Jimmy remember Byron V's Ice?
Iconic person from mine. Yeah, you know, so they He's Jimmy V, somebody I've always admired. And so as much as I'm not fired up about certain NC State fans that I know, and I hated Debbie Yao probably for no reason. And I'm not a fan of Dave Doran, and you guys know that.
just a little.
I am thrilled that they're in the Final Four for a number of reasons, and that's kudos to them and for the majority of their fan base that probably agrees with me on a lot of stuff.
Chris Corciani and Rodney Monroe were fire and ice, by the way. For somebody out there will get that reference.
Oh yeah, I watched them. I couldn't remember exactly if it was Chris Corciani and Rodney Monroe or Rodney something else. Right? Yeah, I was confusing him with Rodney Rogers, who played at Wake Forest.
Yeah, I got to play pickup against Corciani. He's older than I am, but he's a South Florida guy. I got to play against him, and he was pretty legit to say the least. But
his son was a Carolina as a walk on. Tommy, you remember Tommy Corciani?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he was a walk on. I think under Frank.
Oh, for Frank? Yeah, because that doesn't surprise me because again, they're the Miami connection there, mm-hmm. no doubt. But yeah, that's when NC State was like. I'm not going to say they were on equal footing of North Carolina and Duke, but they were legit. Remember, they also won a title, David Thompson in 74. Norm Sloan was the coach. Like, wow. There's some pretty great tradition there.
Tim Brando made a point today, though, that really kind of resonated. Because, you know, State's last title was in 83. I do remember the Fire and Ice teams. And then in 87, they kind of had a team that like wasn't supposed to win the ACC tournament and did.
Googly.
And then, of course, Jimmy V got sick. But he made a point. If you think about it, Krzyzewski got to Duke in, what, 82, 83? The mm-hmm. rise of Duke coincided with State, who was a two-time national champion within 10 years, sort of declining. Mm. That and, of course, Jim Valvano passing away and stuff like that. So Duke under Krzyzewski becoming what they were really sort of overshadowed them. Although Duke's historically been good, but they've never been that good. You know what I'm saying?
Can you make an analogy of where NC State has been all these years in the ACC to where South Carolina is in the SEC? Like, NC State's always looking at the blue bloods, and of course the SEC's got quite a few blue bloods, whether it's Alabama or Georgia or LSU, what have you.
You're talking football? Football?
Yeah, I'm talking football. You could make the comparison to basketball as well, but let's stay with football for a second. Like, NC State can just never get over that. Dave Doran's had some good years, just despite J.C. Sherbert. But he's never going to, like, NC State's not winning ACC championships in football anytime soon, right? Like, they just can't get over that hump.
They're favored next year, Mike.
To win the ACC?
Yeah, them and Louisville.
Over Clemson and Florida State.
FSU, yeah.
So when the preseason poll comes out, I'm going to see NC State number one.
Hey, this was one person's poll.
And all right,
they had Louisville one and NC State two. I said Florida State fourth. It's like, yeah, that's interesting.
Somebody, by the way, did an April Fool's joke. I'll admit it. I clicked the link. I don't know who it was, but it was he took the pictures of like Pete Thamel and Andy Staples, who we'll have on JC and Morgan tomorrow. And all the and like saying that it's official, Florida State and Clemson have left for the Big Ten, but it wasn't like Yacht Boy tweeting it out. He'd used the pictures of actual college football national reporters, and it looked real.
Well, yeah, they'll put their real name there, and then they'll change one letter in their at.
Yeah. It's pretty creative.
People do that on non April Fools sometimes.
Sadly, they do.
They're called losers.
Yes.
All right, we got to go. It is the end of the hour. It's actually already beginning the third hour. We've got some more basketball news, major news, to pass along to you as well. Gamecock fan in the chat box has asked a couple of questions, good ones. I saw them. I'll come back to them here in just a little bit and much, much more pertaining to South Carolina. But when we return, Mike?
Oh, Jamie, thanks for asking. Yes, it's another award-winning edition of the Love Chevy Drive Around the SEC. Coming up, the SEC repping the men's and women's Final Four. The new baseball poll is out and SEC heavy. And yes, we're talking football. We will break down the SEC quarterbacks ahead of the spring games.
Ooh.
1 through 16 is kind of what the SEC is looking at the most important position on the field, bar none, quarterback. That's all coming up.
Nothing like the SEC QB rankings in spring game month.
of April. If there's an excuse to talk football,
that's exactly
what's happening, right. My man.
That's right.
I can't wait. I can't wait to read this list.
I'm fired up. Where is South Carolina starting quarterback Robbie Ashford on that list? Mike will tell us when we return.
Oh, wow. Oh.
We have started in 1979. Because we're a manufacturer, we're able to control our costs. That's why we like to manufacture as much of the product as we can, because in our factory stores, we can offer a competitive edge over other people around the country. When people come into one of our Palm Casuals, it's like they're buying their car at Detroit. They're going right to the factory and buying their car.
30-day money-back guarantee. That's a big deal with us. When we get 30 days to do anything, I mean, return it, change it, get a different color, get your money back.
When you pull into a store and it says Palm Casual, you know you're at a factory store.
Rescues and Resin, proud supporters of Carolina Rise. They are also proud partners of the show. They make products you can't get anywhere else. Custom designed wood and resin products that make your tailgate, make your home, or make anything stand out. Order a custom cutting board, coasters, wall art, tables, and more. Contact Dustin and Tabitha at rescuesandresin.com today. Rescuesandresin.com, and put your imagination to work. Rescues and Resin, proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Hey, Gamecock fans, Mike Morgan here. During my time in Columbia, one of my favorite places to eat was Salsarita's. When I go back now for work or any other reason, it's still Salsarita's. Yeah, I'm like you. I love tacos. I love Tex-Mex. Where are you going to go to get them? Well, you've got two convenient Salsarita's locations, one in Lexington in the Target Center and one in West Columbia as well. Now, if you like tailgating, and who doesn't? Whether it's for a football game or anything else, they've got the catering hotline. Get yourself some Fiesta packs to take tailgating. Get yourself the Three Amigos bundles for tailgating. They make catering easy with a fresh, hot setup. And again, you just call the phone number 803-543-6297 to set it up. You can also look them up online, or you can even download the app. Salsarita's is just a cut above the rest. That's why they're serving Williams-Brice Stadium in the South Stands, also serving in the Colonial Life Arena. Again, that catering hotline number, make it easy for you and the folks out there. You don't need to settle for sandwiches every time. 803-543-6297. 803-543-6297.
It's 2024, and it's time to get in shape. Charleston Fitness Equipment can help you do just that in Mount Pleasant. The Wilkins family, big Gamecock fans and proud supporters of Carolina Rise and our programming on the Chief Sports Network. But most importantly, proud supporters of you getting healthy and staying healthy. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Find them on the Chief Sports app and in Mount Pleasant. Happy New Year.